There. Do I have that on? I've got a little bitty voice, so I need, yeah, there we go. That's better. Yeah, Mick and Mike and Ronnie Sampley came to Fort Worth and backed up over the curb there. And my neighbor's father pastored First Baptist Church in Temple, Texas, Tyler, Texas. Dr. William Schemberger was his dad. And this young man who lived by us, Dr. Criswell, preached his ordination. So, you know, but he was a really neat kid. I say kid. I was a little bit older when I was down there. But here come these guys, you know, and backing up over there and loud. You know, I think it's pretty early when you guys got there. And so Schemberger called and said, y'all having a rodeo over there? But I couldn't have had a better neighbor than Jimmy Schemberger. He came over and talked to me. Like I say, I was already 30 years old when I went to seminary. 33 when I came here. About 39 years ago this summer. We've got a little more gray hair now, hadn't we, guys? We were all pretty young. And Gary mentioned the money. You know, if God's in something, it doesn't matter what the money is. Do you know that? People worry about money and worry about money and worry about money. But if God's in something, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And we just thank God. I searched for a passage of Scripture that I felt like described mine and Betty's, well, actually my whole family. My daughter and son, you know, are grown now. And Rod's 47, same age as Wendell. And Savannah's 44. They were 5 and, what about 9 when we came here. So it was a wonderful experience for us. And what we found here when we came to Branch was a group of people who loved the Lord and who were willing to take a chance on this young green preacher that didn't know which end was up, really. The very first Bible school that I was the pastor of was the very first Bible school that I'd ever been involved. There's Lisa back there. Hey, Lisa. Yeah, you and Savannah are the same age. Yeah. I didn't see you, but yeah, there you are. And all the firsts were here. I think I sang my first solo over there in the old building. I sang with Dallas Home with a little bitty cassette recorder. And speaking of the old church, you remember over there, Mick, and some of you guys, this is not a trip down memory lane. I'm going to preach in a minute, but, you know, I don't get to see you all very often. But I remember when I came, we had a little bitty sound system, a little Radio Shack system that actually was about this big. Guys back there in the back, it was about this wide, and you could use 2 microphones, and it was the old high impedance stuff. And I had a 28,000 BTU air conditioner on this side, and a 28,000 BTU air conditioner here, and a 28,000 BTU air conditioner in the back. And so you talk about a guy with a little voice to start with, and then had all that to deal with. But it's always been a joy. I've had the sad occasion to come back a few times for funerals. I think the last time perhaps I came and stood at this pulpit was when Brother George Hill passed away. But it always saddens me to see those folks. Brother Tim and I are on the executive board down in Little Rock together, and I see him down there, and I say, how are all the Branch folks? That's the first question I ask him. I said, how are the Branch folks? Because we do keep up with you. And so, and then with Facebook, I see some of you anyway, you know, see some of the things you do. But like I say, I was looking for a passage of Scripture that I thought described our experience, and there's a passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the first few verses there that talk about Paul and Silas and Timothy and their experience in that church. And so I wanted to just speak a little bit about that to you for just a few moments today, and not necessarily a fire and brimstone message. I preached at a fairly large church not long ago, and Gary, one of the guys, came by and he said, it's good to hear about Jesus. And I don't know, you know, what they've been hearing. But, you know, that's the reason we meet. We don't meet to talk about the weather. We don't meet to talk about what are you doing or how's your life going. Now, those things are all important. And those are what Christian fellowships are for. But Christian fellowships are also to bring people in who are lost and who are unchurched. And we can bring those people in like that. But it's a great joy. I think we had, what did we have? One, your daddy was a deacon, and Irvin was a deacon, I think. Jimmy and Irvin. And I learned a lot from those guys, I guarantee you. They mean a lot to me, even to this day. And we ordained Gary and Mike and Mick, and I'm not sure. John Wyatt, I think, were the deacons back then. Is that right? Was there somebody else? Philip. Okay, now Philip came after. I tell him, Philip, I said, you came after I left. You know what? You didn't want to come. Well, let's get to the scripture. But let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come. And Lord, we do lift up our brother Tim today while he's away. And thank you for the confidence that he has in us today. And we can come and just open the word. And Father, just a word of encouragement and thankfulness to this great church for what they have meant to us through these many, many years and still continue to mean to us. Lord, they've formed us and molded us into who we are. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We know that we're not without flaws. We're sure not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But well, Lord, I thank you for all the good lessons and things that we've learned here. And so what a joy it is to be here in this place today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through about the B part of 5 verse. It says, to the church at Thessalonica, to God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. We always thank God for you always mentioning you in our prayers. We continue to remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because of our gospel that came to you not simply in words, but also in power with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. I remember those prayer meetings. I remember those invitation times when this altar was full of people getting hold of God. Garland, Linda, I don't know if it's what for your baby girl, all those things that were going on in this church. And I remember James T. You remember James T? I remember the story. He had already had his accident before I came to Branch, but I heard the stories that James T., when he had his accident, wanted to come by the parsonage for Brother Susky to pray for him before he even went to the hospital. Now, these are people of faith. These are people that trust God, and I'm entrusting that those works are falling after in you who are out here today as I look out in this congregation. But the members of this church here that Paul is writing to, they were very cordially, they embraced the gospel that Paul had for him. They were warm to the apostles. They listened to what they had to say and received his instruction. You know, that instruction went both ways. You know, I think where churches get in trouble sometimes when some pastors think the only instruction that needs to go is what they have to say. But I've always told our churches, I said, we're in this thing together. We're in the harness together, and whatever God has for us, that's what we're going to do together. We all have our roles. We all have our places. We all have our purposes. But we're in this together. And I think when people put their pride aside, and I think I've seen that, I'm so pleased with Brother Tim. I'll tell you, I see him, and I say, Tim, I remind him every time, and Betty can attest to this. Now, I'm just joking when I say this, but I say, Brother Tim, you're the best thing that's happened to Branch since I left. And I mean that. Every time, because I've seen all the pastors, and I know the pastors and love the pastors, but Tim, I think, is a real jewel. So And I know that you know that. Well, Paul had strong affection for them, the church. And I love to listen to read 1 John because of the way he talks so affectionately to the folks. And I think this is a way that Paul is speaking to them there at Thessalonica. But he expressed his thanks for their truth in the gospel and for their prayers. And he said, I remember your faith, love, and patience. You remember over in 1 Corinthians, Paul talked about, you know, these three. You know, he talks about the gifts. He said, though I have the gift of, the story that I hadn't planned to read this passage of Scripture or quote it. But he says the main thing is that faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And I was looking at this passage of Scripture, and I say all these elements are here in this passage of faith, love, and hope that are here. It's not a hope that I hope one day I'm going to go to heaven, but I know because I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, the first point is, thanks be to God. We give thanks to God for you always. He said, for you calling us. And I put this on there. When we were in seminary, we looked, and Betty told me, Diane, she said, if you don't preach any better than this, she said, we're going to have to leave in the covered wagon. So we did make it in the cattle trailer. So I don't know. I don't know. When we first, well. But for calling us, like I say, for trusting us, but Paul is talking about that here. You know, they had fellowship together. For loving them, for trusting them, for loving them, and for accepting them, warts and all, you know. And I'm sure that some of you people who were seasoned adults and who knew a lot of things would just lean back and scratch your head and say, I wonder why they're going to do it that way. But you loved us anyway, just like Paul. They loved Paul anyway. For your loving us, for your teaching us. And we, like I say, this is a parallel of our life. For teaching us, for helping us, for allowing us really to be ourselves. And I was so much ourselves one time when we were building this new fellowship hall back here. And S.J. Hopkins built that. And did he build this building as well? Okay. S.J. was building that. And I remember one time, I'm looking out here at Roger's sister. You and Mike Dunn and Roger, I don't know what we were doing. We all used to be like a bunch of bandy roosters out here, you know. And we all tried to outdo each other. But anyway, they got me down out there playing. You remember what you guys did? Tell them what you did, Michael. You gave me the pink belly, didn't you? Yeah. Can you imagine somebody doing that to their pastor? So we had a good, they allowed us to be ourselves, and I guess maybe sometimes we'd be too much ourselves. But they did it. Your state senator did that. He probably led the pack, but you know what? It took all three of them to get me down back then. I like to tell that part anyway. No. Well, you made it easier for your pastor here. You made it, and Thessalonica made it easier for Paul and Silas because they did love them. They did trust them. What a treat. I mentioned we make mention of you all in always in our prayers. Like I say, everything was our first here. Only thing I did first, I baptized somebody at Grand Avenue when I was pastor at Moffitt Mission. But everything else was a first here. Everything else was a first. So we still love you, we still pray for you, we still mention you. Remembering without ceasing, Paul mentioned. We remember your faith for the church whenever we pray. You're constantly on our mind. I've already given you this illustration about James T. Your work of faith. What faith that is. Probably not able to move, not knowing what's going to happen. But let's go by and let's pray first. I used to say, and I can say this about a lot of men who are in this church, but I used to say that James T. was a man that you could stake your life on what he said. And like I say, I can say that about a lot of men in this church as well. And I trust that those works do follow after those men. I believe they do. He says, I remember your work of faith, that is showing of faith. Acts of duty, your mission work. Goodness, you just got back word from Memphis somewhere. Didn't you all go to Memphis? And how many times you been to Memphis now? Anybody remember? Several? Yeah. You've got a pastor who's got a heart for missions. Holiness, reverence for God, trusting God, believing God, caring about people's souls. Caring about the souls of men. And I understand you go in some pretty rough places. You know, I went to Memphis. Matter of fact, I stayed with Roger and Sandy. Well, I didn't stay with them. I drove to their house. When they were in Memphis in seminary, I'd gone down and had a little girl in the hospital down at St. Jude's. And I spent the night in their driveway in the car. I didn't want to wake them up. I got there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I spent the night. Sandy fixed a nice breakfast for us that next day. But on the way out to their house, I don't know if you were ever, you're probably down there, but there were bars on the windows on all the homes and businesses, and that was back in the early 80s. But it was a rough area. Memphis has always been a rough area. I think one of the roughest places in the country. But not afraid to go because you trusted God. God is always with us, and that's the way Paul and Silas were here. Their benevolence to the community. To the nursing home, when I was down here last couple of weeks ago for your revival, Brother Tim mentioned that it was a nursing home was the next week. So all these acts are exercised by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Works that show your faith, works that show that you're saved, works that show that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and that His death means something to you. It's not just something that you hear about. You know, when I was a young boy, I joined a church that just sprinkled you on the head. We walked down the aisle, and I thought, well, I'm okay. And when I got to be about 16 years old, I had a real bad heat stroke playing football. And I had a chance to look at my life during that time, and I realized that there was more to life than just walking down an aisle, that Jesus had died for me. Specifically, I knew that He had died. I'd heard that all my life, but I realized for the first time that He had died for me. So when I was 18, I went to a revival service with a friend of mine, and I was saved. Saved, gloriously saved, and I thank God for it. Have not doubted my salvation one time since that. Well, your labors of love. Labor produced by that love and by your faith. And by your endurance and by your hope, kindness to the poor. And it's not because you have to. It's because you want to. How many of you in here today went on the mission trip to Memphis? Okay. Several of you. Not because you had to. You probably had to sacrifice something. You probably had to sacrifice wages or something else to do that. But you know, when you do something like that, it's not really a sacrifice, is it? No. It's rewarding. It's kind of like going to the nursing home, isn't it? You think, well, I'm going to go there and bless somebody, but who gets blessed? Kindness to the poor, kindness to the oppressed, kindness to the afflicted, and all other acts that prove that you love the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And the patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Patience in your trials. We found out about 6 years ago almost that Betty has Parkinson's disease. That's a pretty hard dose to swallow. And it progresses. We have a doctor that told us, he said, you know, this is a slow progressing thing. And so, don't worry about it. And it helped her tremendously to hear that. But, you know, it's always there before you. All those things are there. You know, the medications are there. And all those things are there. But it's our love and trust. And not a hope-so kind of thing, but a know-so kind of thing. To know that the Lord is going to provide and take care in every situation. But patient in your trial, sickness, disease, all those things. The hope of assurance of heaven. You don't have to worry about that. Jesus said He paid the price once for all. Once for all. I've had a lot of friends I visit with sometime at different places of different faiths and talk to them about heaven. They said, well, I hope I get to go. And I said, well, you can know so. That's what 1 John chapter 5 says. You know, I tell you these things that you may know that you have eternal life. You may not have to hope so. You can know that. So patience in all your trials, hope and assurance of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives you the assurance, the patience, the trust. I like that word trust, don't you? The only hope we have is heaven is through the Redeemer, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every time I do a funeral, I flip over to John chapter 14. And I look at that passage of Scripture over there. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when I get down to that portion of Scripture where Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where You're going and how can we know the way? And I thought, you know, don't you know that the Lord's saying, Thomas, where have you been for 3 years? Where have you been? And I always remind people there that day, I do this without fail. I said, Jesus reminds us, it rings throughout history. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. In a funeral message, sometimes I tell folks, I say, you know, if we live our lives for fame and fortune, we lose. But if we live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, we gain everything. 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 So in verse 4, Paul says, knowing, beloved brethren, your election before God, knowing that you are chosen by God unto salvation, and I've included here, I would have that all men be saved, which you have finished, the things you need to do, your works of faith, your labors of love. And he says, I continue to remember you before God the Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd ask you today, what's your hope in? What's your trust in? What's your assurance in today? Has there ever been a time that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you prayed a prayer, and it's not a specific prayer other than just saying, Lord Jesus, would you come into my heart and change me, make me what you want me to be? You may not be able to verbalize. Sometimes we can't even verbalize, but in our mind we say those things to God. Are you like me when I was 12 years old, just walked an aisle somewhere and was satisfied to do that for a while? Or perhaps you were in a church service when you were a child and you walked an aisle, and that you know and realize since that time that you weren't really saved. You weren't really saved. You just maybe followed another child down. Children do that a lot. You know, they do that. They used to do it anyway. I guess they still do. Whatever. God moves in your heart today. May just be to come and pray. You may have... It may be like us. You may have a grandson that's out of fellowship with God. You just want to come and pray. Maybe a family member. Maybe a husband. Maybe a wife. Maybe a mom. Maybe a dad. Somebody's out of fellowship with God. You know that they're on the wrong path. Why don't you come? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this great church. Thank you for these people. Lord, I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts today. And Lord, that we'd not leave this place today until we've done business with you. We've done what you've asked us and called us to do. Father, thank you again for the privilege you've called us to, all of us. And we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.